So the Blue Jays go 49-47 in the first half. It was a half marked with some serious ups and downs. They started the year 8-6, and then they went 5-11. Then they won 5 in a row. Then they lost 3 in a row. Then they went 20-4. And since then, they've gone 11-23. The only consistency we've seen from them is in their inconsistency. And now, without three middle-of-the-order players, they go on this 2-8 road trip, and things don't get any easier. I think it's fair to say that there isn't a team in Major League Baseball that needs these 4 days off more than your Toronto Blue Jays. And again, almost miraculously, they're still right in the thick of the race. Right now, just 3.5 games back of the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles playing the Yankees tonight in a game that can be heard along many of these Sportsnet Radio Network stations. With Kevin Gausman against Chase Whitley. If the Orioles win, then the Blue Jays will be 4 back. If the Orioles lose, the Blue Jays and Yankees will be tied for second place, 3 games out of first place in the American League East, heading into the unofficial second half of the season. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Get your calls coming in. Speak to Igor Henriquez. And if he deems you worthy, you get to talk to me. And how much fun is that? 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Again, taking your calls right up until the top of the hour. Longer on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Perhaps, depending on whether or not there is a conclusion to the World Cup soccer game. Phil is in Peterborough. You're going to be our leadoff man. Phil, welcome aboard.
It's nice to be a leadoff.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for accepting my call. Now, my question. I think the Jays are doing fairly well, but where do you see them for a playoff spot?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, so it's tough. I know everybody wants to know, what do you think? Do you think they'll make the playoffs? Do you think they won't? Here's what I know. I know that right now they're 3.5 games back and 3 behind a playoff spot for the wild card with the Seattle Mariners. They're awfully beat up, but all the guys who are beat up are going to be back, and one hopes that they all kind of come back right around the end of July, beginning of August. And nobody in the American League East is good. You know, they were talking about how no one in the AL East has gotten hot except the Blue Jays, who had that great 20-4 run. Baltimore's pretty hot right now. They've won 9 of their last 11, and that's a nice little run for them. They're not that good. Every team in the division has some serious, serious flaws. And the Blue Jays, I think, they've got to start playing well, obviously. But I think they're in a fine position going into the All-Star break. It would be better, obviously, if they were still in the lead or if they were at least playing well. Neither of those things are happening. But with 66 games to go, they've got just as good a chance as anybody to make the playoffs, I believe.
Well, I'll say this. They have a better chance than Boston does right now.
There's no question. They have a better chance than Boston, than Tampa, than the Yankees, all of them.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Phil. The Red Sox they were winning the last time I looked. They're in Houston. They are winning, 6-0 in the top of the seventh. So if they close that out, then they would be within 5.5 games of the Blue Jays for second place in the American League East. But still, right now, 10 games under 500. And I'm not sure. And I say this with the Blue Jays, just 2 games over 500. I'm not sure that you can consider yourself a contender as long as you're under 500. At least that far under 500. Dean is in Paris, Ontario, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Dean.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, thank
good.
You.
Good. First time caller. I love the way you do your show. It's fantastic.
That's swell of you to say. Thank you.
Thanks. You know what? I just tuned in for the last few innings, and I know Toronto always has their toughest time with Tampa, down in Tampa. But I'm just wondering, as I look at this team, even when they get healthy, do you think they have enough talent to ride this out and get back, so when the regulars get back in, that they're still going to be in the hunt?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think that this is an incredibly poor run that they're going through right now. But the thing that we've seen is that they've still been getting pretty good starting pitching throughout. So as long as that keeps up, you don't need an overwhelming amount of offense, and they should have enough. You know, even without Encarnacion and Lind and Lurie, you know, it's not a terrible offensive team. It's certainly not nearly as good.
I saw that, you know, a week ago you're sitting in, 43, 44 win mark, and you think, okay, they can get to 50 by the All-Star break and stuff like that, and then wait to get healthy and stuff like that and set themselves up. And I think that one today, just to leave them at 49, was almost more of a mental hurdle, at least for me anyway. You know what I mean? Like to say, oh, you didn't get to 50, you know? So
I hate to say this, because this might not come across well, but mental hurdles for fans don't matter.
I know. And they don't pay us.
Right. And how you feel has no effect on how they play.
Exactly.
But I get that a lot of, you know, I get that Toronto is almost shell-shocked by what's gone on with our sports teams in the city for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So Toronto sports fans have come to expect that we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
And that no matter how well things are doing, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train.
Well, like I said, I think it was more just the kind of a mental number of 50, right? You'd say, oh, 50, that sounds good. Like, you know what I mean? You're up until the next decade of wins and stuff like that, right? But it's just a number of stuff. Anyway, Mikey, enjoy the rest of the day. You do a great job over there, and I'll let you go.
Thanks, Dean. Appreciate the call. It would have been swell to get 50 wins by the All-Star break. It would have been great to get a win in a series at Tampa. Now the Blue Jays only have one more shot to do that this year. They are 6-4 against the Rays this season, with a split there and this series loss and a sweep at home. They lose 3-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays today, but. And really, the thing is, when you're beat up to the extent that the Blue Jays are, you're looking to just tread water and stay in it. They are certainly still in it, but they have not been treading water in losing over 2/3 of their games since that 20-4 run came to a close back on June the 5th. Tom is in Kitchener listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You're not on 570 News, Tom. Where's your loyalty?
I know.
They're going to come get you there in the K-Dub.
I know. It's tough.
All right.
But, you know, it's all I could tune in. My radio's kind of busted up. So, I was calling in because, you know, it's a pretty critical season, I think. And it's hard to say what the team's going to do after the All-Star break. I know it's been kind of shaky for fans. You know, I've been a fan since a kid. I'm a pretty young guy still, but... What I want to know is, what are your thoughts on what Anthopoulos should do? Should he just go all in at this point, clean out the farm and make the best of this run that they've got? Once, you know, you got Lind, get Lind off the DL, Lurie will be back, and, hopefully Eddie as well. So, what do you think?
You know what? It's really tough. I would love to see him go for it and try to get a David Price or a Ben Zobrist or a Cliff Lee or something like that, even though they're really, really hurting for offense right now. I would have loved Adrian Beltre, but he's not available. Martin Prado could help a little bit, though it would be nice if he was having a better year. There are a lot of things that the Blue Jays can go out and do to make themselves a little bit better, but they'll come at a pretty high cost. And the cost, obviously, is something that's going to make a lot of the people who listen to this program very uncomfortable. But then you think, and maybe you think ahead to 2017, and you've got a rotation of Stroman and Hutchison and Sanchez and Norris and Antonio Osuna, and how incredible that could be.
Oh, yeah.
But every time I think that, I think, yeah, but it's been 21 years. You know, why should we want to make it 24 or 5? They've got an opportunity here to strike, and often prospects don't wind up being what you think they're going to be. And if you have a chance to get an established good major leaguer for a good prospect, you should do it.
I agree. And, you know, with the Sam Rhodesia trade, you know, it was so painful to have it go south. I know a lot of people said it was a tough, it was a tall order. And you know, I'm sure Anthopoulos mulled that one over a lot. And, So, but you got to think, is this not the time to do it? Well, you still got everybody in their prime. I mean, Edwin Encarnacion is, he's just a powerhouse. It was tragic to have him go on the DL. But, you know, I think now's the time to strike, and, don't wait and rely on, just, you know, stuff you don't have yet.
Well, yeah, nobody, and that's, you're talking about guys like Sanchez and such, stuff you don't have yet. And it's true. And you can take advantage of their market too, because very often prospects, young players, never, ever, ever have any more value on the trade market than before they've played a major league game. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens. It would be nice if the Blue Jays were playing better. Very interesting to see what happens as far as, trades during the All-Star break. We've seen Alex Anthopoulos do it before. They are now in, as the British say, time added on in the World Cup final, and there's going to be 3 extra minutes to be played. It's still nothing. Germany and Argentina. Should it stay that way? What, it's 2 15-minute halves of overtime? Is that the deal? No sudden death? 2 15-minute halves of overtime before they go to penalty kicks to decide it. We will keep you updated on what's going on over there. Let's go out east, listening on 97.5. Joe is in Halifax. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I have a question. What do the Blue Jays and the Maple Leafs have in common?
This sounds like a joke rather than a question.
Well, it's a question, too.
All right, let's see if the answer is factually valid.
Honk, honk. Okay, I got that out of the way.
Not funny. Or the other way would be better.
I'm not a sports aficionado, but I do follow sports.
Apparently not after that joke. Not a comedian either.
I do follow sports sometimes, intermittently, sometimes longer than others, sometimes for a whole season.
Yeah, which just makes you probably like the normal sports fan. Nobody is... You know, there's a very small population of people who are thoroughly obsessed and watch and listen to every game.
Oh, I hear guys that can rattle off stats and players and trades and they even know the personalities of the players. I know some, but I'm not that guy, and I want to preface my question with that. But
no problem.
Why is it that it seems to me, and I could be wrong, that baseball, the enjoyment of baseball, fun-type sandlot baseball has been overshadowed by multi-million-dollar contracts and disabled lists and micromanaging teams, and it just seems like a lot of the fun has been removed from it. It's become so much of a micromanaged multi-million-dollar business.
By who? Are you talking about from the, like, the
back
way
in the
fans...
I'm in my mid-60s. So.
Right. But are you talking about the way fans perceive it or the way the ball clubs... franchises run their ball clubs.
The way I perceive it is it seems to me these days they talk as much about guys being on the DL as
who's
they do.
They? That's that's what I want to know. Who's they?
Well, any of the sports channels that I listen to, any of the sports I listen to.
Yeah, you know why? I think honestly, first of all, I don't think it was ever about, hey, let's go have fun and sandlot and stuff like that. I mean,
no, I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying it was more of a, well, you could be, I'm sorry, go ahead. You know, it just seems to me it's become the Iron Man of baseball. Guys like Cal Ripken Jr.,
yeah.
which is, you know, he's kind of an anomaly, but you don't hear about these guys so much anymore. Everyone's hurt. They get a pulled hamstring or a hangnail or a bent pinky finger or some darn thing.
Well, it's tough to play with a bent pinky finger, but you know, it's first of all, that's no worse now than it ever was, and it's interesting that there was an article, and I saw a link to it on Twitter, and by the way, they're now going to go to overtime in the World Cup game, so second half is over, still nothing Germany and Argentina. I saw a tweeted link to an article, and I don't know where that article was. So I can't tell you where to go, that said the reason that there are so many more injuries and so much missed time right now is because medicine is actually better and improving. And I guess what that means is that we're better able to detect injury and have people not playing at their peak wind up being disabled. But honestly, and I hate to bite the hand that feeds us, I really think it's because there are now 24-hour sports talk radio stations, 24-hour sports news television stations, and stuff like that. People need to have content. People need to have things to talk about. And talking about roster moves and trade scenarios and all that sort of thing is just manna for the people who run these media environments.
That was part of my next question, but what do you think about the idea that players are making so much more money now? There's so much more value invested in each player by owners that they're far more protective of a possibility of an injured player, and they're looking at the big picture, trying to keep them from it becoming a long-term issue?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Especially with pitchers. I think that's absolutely reasonable.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, Michael, thank you for taking my call. And sorry about the bad joke. I'll try to have a better one next time.
All right. No
problem. All right, bud.
Appreciate it, Joe. Thank you for the call. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays close out the unofficial first half, and that's because it's 96 games gone with only 66 to play, with a 3-0 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. R.A. Dickey gives up 2 runs on 5 hits through 6 innings. Another very good start by him. David Price was way better. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. First half is over, but we will continue our Blue Jays talk until the conclusion of the World Cup final, which has now moved into overtime. We will continue to take your calls until the bottom of the hour on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. The Blue Jays have announced what their starting rotation will be out of the All-Star break. R.A. Dickey is going to go first, and then Marcus Stroman, Mark Burley, Drew Hutchison, and Jay Happ. So there's your five-man rotation. It means that R.A. Dickey gets back-to-back starts, which is kind of neat. He'll start the opener against the Texas Rangers on Friday night. That's the next time you'll hear from us. We start 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch, the Blue Jays and the Rangers. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Igor Enriquez, and Eric Prime, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.
Pitch hit the right field. A base hit over to cut it off with his backhand stab. Bautista throws to the plate. Here comes the runner to slide the tag. He's out at home plate. A brilliant throw by Jose Bautista, and the Rays are going to argue as Yunel Escobar encourages Joe Maddon to come out. The umpires have come to a conclusion. They've taken off the headset, and he is safe at the plate.
Call overturned on replay, and it looked as though they were right to overturn it. Yunel Escobar was safe at the plate, and it was a great throw by Jose Bautista, who was playing right field for the first time since he hurt his hamstring. That was in Cincinnati, wasn't it? taking a look back through the old scorebook for the Blue Jays, wrapping up that road trip in Cincinnati. The last time Jose Bautista played right field was June the 22nd. So a span of 19 games in which Bautista hadn't played right field. He goes back out there today and boom, almost throws out Yunel Escobar at the plate. Blue Jays lose it 3-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays. They go into the break with 49 wins. They come out of the break with the Texas Rangers, who have the worst record in Major League Baseball and who right now are trailing the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim 7-4 in the top of the fifth. And it's tough to imagine the Rangers being the worst team in the game. Right now they are 20 games out of first place. They've lost 7 in a row, and they are the only team in Major League Baseball with a run differential worse than -100. They're at -106 right now. The next worst team is the Houston Astros. The Astros are at -83. So the Texas Rangers have been abysmal, with a capital biz, and that's who the Blue Jays get to face as they open up the schedule post All-Star break. And they have announced their starting rotation post All-Star break. R.A. Dickey, who started today, will start the next game as well. So he gets back-to-back starts, which is kind of neat. And Friday is his regular day anyway. He will be first out of the chute, followed by Marcus Stroman, Mark Burley, Drew Hutchison, and then Jay Happ. So different looks all throughout. You got the knuckleballer first, and then the hard-throwing righty, the soft-tossing lefty, another hard-throwing righty, and then Jay Happ, whatever he is. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will be Blue Jays talking it up until the World Cup final is over, and they're in overtime right now. It's tough to read the clock on the tiny little monitors they give us. What is it, the 94th minute right now? 96th minute. The 96th minute. It's nothing. Germany and Argentina. They play 2 15-minute halves, and it's not sudden death, which is a good thing for Germany. Oh, no, Argentina almost scored there. So I was about to say that was almost a walk-off. Is that what it's called in soccer? If there had been, I know there's no, I just said that. The boys on the other side of the glass are clearly not listening to me. There's no sudden death in the World Cup, but if there was, that was very close to a walk-off. Derek Brandeo, who is a co-host of European Football Weekly, is that what they're calling it? Is that what they call it these days? European Football Weekly special World Cup edition will be on as soon as the game is over. And Derek Brandeo, who is our technical director right now and also one of the co-hosts of that program, informs me that Argentina still does not have a shot on goal in this game, which is unbelievable, especially the way I'm told they've carried the play to this point through most of the game. Nothing. Germany and Argentina as they now play in the 98th minute. And again, Blue Jays talk until the soccer game is over, even if it goes to penalty kicks, which is a tremendously awful way to decide the championship of the world in any sort of sporting endeavor. But we're stuck with it in soccer. We're stuck with it in hockey as well. Back to your calls. Phone lines are open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Eddie is in Fort Erie. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Mike. Before I talk about the baseball game, I want to ask you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is your wife Argentinian descent?
It's an interesting question to be asked. I don't delve into the personal life too much on the program, but my former wife is from Argentina, yes.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's all right. It's still, you know what? It's a wonderful country. It's a fantastic culture, and the alfajores are great. And in fact, I asked for some on Twitter. I haven't heard anybody willing to send me any if Argentina should win the game. But I have been firmly ensconced in all things Argentina for the last 20 years or so. No question.
I guess you're rooting for them, huh?
Yeah, for what? That's one reason to root for Argentina, for sure. There are others.
All right. I want to talk about today's game and yesterday. I want to kind of compare the two. I thought yesterday when they lost, it was kind of the turning point in this series because they had a chance to win the series without David Price in the starting, which is what you brought up after I called you, like seconds after you finished taking my call. And when I found out, I was like, yes, they're finally going to do it. And then they lost yesterday and they lost the series. And I thought, to me, that game yesterday was the turning point in the series, because if they won that game yesterday, then this one today probably would not have, you know, either mattered or not, because David Price was pitching today.
Well, it's always going to matter, but it's always great to win the first two games of a series, and then you know that even if you lose the third, at least you got the series. But at this point, I think the Blue Jays are after every single win they can get. So it would have been nice yesterday. Even after you get thumped yesterday, you're still going out today with R.A. Dickey, who's been pitching awfully well on the mound, with a chance to beat David Price. And yesterday's game, certainly you would have thought would be easier to win, for sure. They just could not get it done. There wasn't a point in yesterday's game where you thought, all right, the Blue Jays have got this, and they let it slip away. They just couldn't get it done.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Mike.
All right, appreciate the call. It would have been great. It really would have. And then you get the series win. But last night, or yesterday evening, I guess, just slips away when a 2-2 tie turns into an 8-2 deficit in the sixth inning. Heather in Toronto. Heather, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
I just got a question and a comment about the MLB replay system.
Sure.
Do you know generically, roughly, how many calls have been overturned versus just been called as is, and how they might decide whether or not they might want to keep it for next year, league-wide?
I don't know that there's any consideration to not having it back next year. I saw a chart yesterday that showed just under 50% of calls have been overturned.
Wow.
But for the Blue Jays, it's under 30%.
Right. And then secondly, I just wanted to make a comment. If you look at the All-Star break last year, the Rays were in second in the AL East, and they were 2.5 games back. So the Jays being second right now, considering the injuries we've had and considering we just went on a 2-8 streak, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that we could be doing a lot better. And just the way everyone's saying it's a sinking ship is really getting to me. But I think it's fair to be optimistic after the All-Star break. They get a bit of a breather, and with people coming back end of July. So, yeah, just want to make that comment.
I appreciate it, and it's not a bad way to think. It is often, and like I said earlier, right, people in Toronto have been conditioned over the course of the last two decades to think that everything is going to go wrong at every possible opportunity. So I can kind of see the thinking of that. What I don't like is, you know, the I told you so, the gloating, how happy people seem to be when their team loses baseball games. That's what kills me more than anything else.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Heather. Much obliged. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Dan is in Toronto. Dan, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Mike. Nice to have the opportunity to be part of the show today.
Thank you for dialing us up.
Okay, I'm not really frustrated with the way the course of the season is going. Yes, they are still in the thick of it and that, but what I don't understand is you're talking about possible trade avenues that this team can explore, but yet this team has not developed a position player. And name one position player in the last 8 years that has been a regular in a starting nine lineup.
Last 8 years? They've had Aaron Hill in the last eight
Aaron
years.
Aaron Hill. So that's the best that you can do in the last 8 years.
Adam Lind they've had in the last eight
Adam
years.
Lind. Seriously? George Springer has more home runs than Adam Lind.
You didn't ask me. Well, first of all, Adam Lind's got over 1,000 OPS against righties. But you asked me, name one regular position player that the Blue Jays have developed over the last 8 years. I just named you two. I didn't know we were comparing them to George Springer and how many home runs he's hit.
Okay, but this is where the issue is that for many years, we as Blue Jays fans, and you know yourself that I've called this program for probably the last decade, and all we've heard is that this team is going to build and develop, and the GM has a good eye for talent, and this team is going to, you know, a high ceiling for talent and this and that. He's a good evaluator of talent. So where is the talent at AAA? Right now you have four players on the current 25-man roster that shouldn't be there.
Well, you also have three players that are middle-of-the-order hitters on the disabled list. So I don't know how you can complain that there are players who shouldn't be on the team being on the team. I mean, you're right. There are guys who shouldn't be here, absolutely. But that's mm-hmm. what happens when players get hurt. Other players who normally wouldn't be on a major league team get called up to a major league team.
So
where's the talent? The talent is Jose Reyes, and the talent is Mark Burley, and the talent is R.A. Dickey, and the talent is Colby Rasmus. All those guys who the Blue Jays used their minor league talent for to acquire.
Okay, I understand that, but when these players get when these players get hurt, the ones that you mentioned,
right?
Where's the maturation process from your prospects that you've drafted in years previous that should be bubbling over down in the minor leagues? There's not one position player in AAA right now that could step in or that could force Alex Anthopoulos to make a trade, like say move a veteran player to bring this person up to the major league team. There's
this
not
is
one.
True. No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. There isn't one.
Okay, so then why over the last 5 to 10 years have we as Blue Jays fans been hearing about Alex Anthopoulos and his predecessor before him that they're going to build the organization by drafting, and they're not drafting well. They're drafting horribly.
They're not drafting horribly. If they were, they wouldn't be able to move players for talent. And I think that's one thing that you're missing. I mean, you're right. There is a dearth of high-level offensive prospects elite-level offensive prospects at the upper levels of the minor league system. There is. Mm-hmm. You're right. But you're also neglecting to remember all the trades they've made where they've used prospect capital to bring in major league players. Right?
Okay.
You're not considering that at all in your evaluation right now, are you?
Okay, but isn't that a lateral move then? If you, just for instance, if you move Sanchez,
yeah.
Okay,
uh-huh.
then for Price,
yeah.
isn't that a lateral move?
Absolutely not.
If Price doesn't sign at the end of his term,
right?
Then you lost your best prospect in your organization for a guy who's going to pitch for you, what, maybe 10 starts?
40. His contract isn't up till next year.
Right.
Right.
But,
yes,
I mean,
you lose your best prospect who may never, who the odds are overwhelming that he's never going to be as good as David Price is right now.
Okay. But at the same time, it's not going to just cost you Sanchez. It's going to cost you two more prospects.
Probably.
On top of it. So,
yeah.
who are those two prospects going to be? That's. Well,
we don't know, obviously.
Exactly. So, I mean, I just don't understand it. I mean, you know, we've sit here and listened time after time that Anthopoulos is going to build through the draft, and his predecessor before him, whose name I refuse to mention.
Which is just horribly, immature of you, but
and,
whatever.
And here we are sitting here talking about, you know, players that are supposed to be bubbling over in AAA, and
no,
there's not
but
one.
But we're not. But, Dan, you're kind of, you know, the narrative you're using is not terribly fact-based at the moment. You're talking about, we sit here and talk about prospects bubbling over and how the Blue Jays are going to build through the draft. Well, the truth is, we haven't talked about that for 2 years now. The Blue Jays did a great job of hoarding draft picks prior to the changes in the collective bargaining agreement before the 2013 season. And once they made the trade with the Marlins and the trade to get R.A. Dickey, it's been about success at the major league level. And so they gave up 7 players to make the Marlins trade. And one of them was, you know, 2 of them were Jeff Mathis and Yunel Escobar. So 5 young players and Henderson Alvarez and prospects. Those are drafted and developed to the point where they were attractive in trade. Same with pulling in R.A. Dickey. And that's what you use a lot of your prospects for. And Alex Anthopoulos has been very upfront about saying, ever since he took over, look, we're trying to get as many good young players as we possibly can. Some of them aren't going to make it. Some of them are going to be used in trades. Some of them will be make it to the major leagues, but not that many. That's the way baseball is. And,
okay.
You know, your thesis statement sort of belies the way the Blue Jays have been doing business over the last couple of years.
Well, when you only see one guy, Adam Lind, on the current nine right now, who's a homegrown product, you got to sit there and say to yourself, I don't think this team has done a really good job in drafting. So
I don't know why you would draw that conclusion. I mean, I understand that it's easy to say, to just look down the roster and say, well, this means this team isn't good at developing players. But what if we take an actual real look at the roster?
Okay.
Let's look. Okay, shall we?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Okay, well, where's Kevin Aaron?
Well,
where's Romero?
No. But let's take an actual look at the roster. I'm not talking about Kevin Aaron's. You know, it's great to pull up a first-round pick that busts because the Blue Jays are one of a very few teams that have first-round picks that don't do anything. D'Honor Navarro is your everyday catcher, right? He was a free agent signing.
Yes.
Adam Lind is your DH. He's homegrown. Edwin Encarnacion is your first baseman. He was acquired in trade for a guy that you signed as a free agent. Your second baseman, I don't know really who your second baseman is now. So let's say it's Munenori Kawasaki when the team is healthy because he's playing pretty well. Minor league free agent signing. Your shortstop, Jose Reyes, acquired in trade for a bunch of your young players. Brett Laurie is your third baseman, acquired in trade for Sean Markham, who was a homegrown developed player. Your left fielder is Melky Cabrera, signed as a free agent. Your center fielder is Colby Rasmus, acquired in trade for Zach Stewart and Mark Zipchinski, among others, homegrown developed talent. Your right fielder is Jose Bautista, acquired in trade for Robinson Diaz, who you developed in your system. So really, they're using those assets prior to them getting to the major leagues and turning them into major leaguers in a lot of instances. And in a lot of instances as well, bringing in players for those assets in the minor leagues who are far better than the players that they're giving up.
Well, I guess in this situation, I think, like many times that I've called this show, we agree to disagree because, I'm sorry, sure, Batista's been a good player, but Kawasaki, Navarro, I mean, like, those aren't players that are going to push you over the top at the end.
Right, so you're just ignoring the other seven who are really good. And that's okay, you know, if that's the way you choose to debate, then that's the way you choose to debate. But look, I just showed you every player who's a regular player on the Major League roster, how the Blue Jays got them, and it really doesn't show that they're terrible at drafting and developing. It shows that they move their assets prior to them getting to the major leagues a lot of the time. But that's just a different way of doing business. Steve is in Ancaster. Steve, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Oh, hi. I was just actually the last guy sort of touched on what I was saying. It's not so much a complaint, but it's more of a concern. Not knowing a lot about their minors, but thinking, geez, are these the best guys they can bring up? You know, the last six hitters are, I guess, all Buffalo players. I was looking at the pitching as obviously their real strength in the minors when it comes to, you know, real potential blue chip prospects.
Sure.
But the thing concern I have is if you do go after a price and you have to give up a Sanchez and, you know, another top guy, whoever it is, or Stroman.
Giving up Stroman.
Oh, they're not going to do that. Yeah. Well, that's good. But my concern is because they gave up so many guys, you know, last year with Dickey,
yep,
the two trades.
Yeah.
If you do shoot for it and you miss, then yes, it's been 20 years, but won't it just knock you back another 10 years? Because those, say if even one of the guys becomes, you know, a number one or number two, yeah, they probably won't be as good as a price career-wise, but you might have them for 10 years as, you know, maybe a number two guy.
Right.
So that's my main concern, because I don't think their team, even getting Price, would compete with, say, the Oaklands over a long series or any of the other teams, really, at this point.
Well, the good thing is that if they make it to the playoffs, they don't have to play a long series against anybody,
mm-hmm,
which is very helpful. But I, you know, your concern is not an uncommon one. And my answer to that is that there are 40 rounds of draft every year, that the farm teams get restocked all the time. And it's true, there aren't too many elite-level blue-chip prospects, but only a small percentage of the elite-level blue-chip prospects ever wind up actually being elite and blue-chip. The Blue Jays made not just the Burley trade and the R.A. Dickey trade, but also the Jay Happ trade, right? They traded seven young players to get Jay Happ and David Carpenter and can't even remember who the third guy was. So you're looking at about two dozen young players that the Blue Jays have traded over the course of the last not even two calendar years. And now you look at their minor league system. You've got Marcus Stroman and Drew Hutchison who are here. You've got Aaron Sanchez, Daniel Norris, and Antonio Osuna, who are elite-level young pitching prospects. You've got Anthony Gosch, you've got Kevin Pillar, you've got Dalton Pompey, and you've got Mitch Ney. There are a few others. Those are the biggest ones. So, no, I really do think that there are so many ways of stocking farm systems, of finding young players, going out internationally, bringing in minor league free agents, all sorts of ways to do it, trades, that, no, you don't have to worry about knocking yourself out for the next 10 years.
I haven't heard, I think you said, obviously, Stroman's untouchable now. You wouldn't have an issue, though, say, I think it's Pompey's the Canadian, like giving away a player like that and a Sanchez for somebody like a Price or a Shields, you would do that thinking that it might make the difference?
Sure. And if not, you know what? You have David Price all year next year, too.
Yeah. Well, and you might have a little bit of an inside chance of re-signing him longer, I guess, that way, too.
Maybe, but maybe not. I mean, they didn't re-sign David Cohn.
Yeah.
Nobody regrets trading a Hall of Famer for him, right?
No. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of draft. It is a huge draft. It's just when you have guys so close bubbling at the surface that you've heard about for a couple of years, you'd hate it to be like another Chris Carpenter, you know? But I know more likely than not it's not going to be. But I just get worried about it.
Well, worry about what's going on in the field and try to enjoy the season that's underway right now.
For sure.
Instead, that'll make things happier.
Great. Thanks
okay.
a lot, Mike.
Thank you for the call. Germany has scored. I want to say the 113th minute, but I can barely read the screen. So 113th minute or so, Germany has scored, and they lead the World Cup final 1-0 with apparently 7 minutes to play. Someone wants to tell me Mario Götze has scored. Götze has scored. So not the great poet and philosopher? No? All right. 1-0 Germany over Argentina. Very, very late in the second half of overtime in the World Cup final, which means the European Football Weekly guys will be on shortly, which is weird because it's going on in South America, but at least the European team is winning at the moment. If Argentina ties it up, though, of course, we get penalty kicks and we shall see. But right now, we are Blue Jays talking it up. Blue Jays lose it 3-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays, and we get extra time on our Blue Jays talk because of what's going on in the soccer game. Chris is in Brantford. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not bad.
Oh, good.
Mike, you know, I wanted to call in because I've been listening to Blue Jays Talk after every game, and I hear a fair bit of the Baseball Central. And, you know, I keep thinking that there's a lot of people who are getting pretty tense for an algorithm, if you wanted to look at things this way, because I've always been told that, you know, you're going to win 60 games and you're going to lose 60 games. It's what you do with the other 40 that count. And, you know, we were 9-1 at one point this season. Now the team ran 2-8, right?
They were never 9-1. No.
Well, I thought they were 9-1 when we had the problem with Reyes throwing the ball away. Wasn't that the 9-1 run?
Oh, you mean a run at one point? Yeah, yeah, they won 9 in a row, yes.
So what I'm looking at is, you know, the schedule is divided into 10 to 12 game sets, right? And it's how you can deal with those games that's going to, you know, determine your outcome in the long run. Now, we do have some warts on this team, granted. We were looking at a roster. What did we have, four guys who wouldn't be on our everyday roster to start the season today? Is that what happened?
More than that. In the starting lineup right now, there Oh, no, there were only four guys who didn't make the team in the starting lineup today. All right.
So, you know, I can appreciate the fact that, you know, there are some needs to be addressed. But before we address these needs with a patchwork, do we really want to blow our brains out with our prospects to get a guy that might be around for a year or to the end of the season?
Well, it depends what your patchwork is. I mean, if you're talking about Alex Rios, maybe not. If you're talking about David Price, that's a little bit different.
Well, I was about to differentiate between the two. Like, okay, fine, we can have Price for, you know, the 40 starts you mentioned. Now, what is the guy in San Diego, Chase Headley? He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Right.
Is Beckham going to give us the kind of second basing we're going to need going forward to be a truly top-flight competitive club? Because I seem to remember listening to McCowan some time ago, and I don't know if this is accurate, but he attributed a remark to Pat Gillick that if you were going to be a championship team, you had to have the top three, you had to have one of the top three players at every position.
Who said that?
I believe it came out of McCowan's mouth via Pat Gillick. Now, don't hold me to this,
okay,
because it's been a long time since I've heard it.
Right, but I mean, just look at the Blue Jays and their World Series championship teams. They hardly had the top three players at every position. That's just done.
But the players that the performance players that they did have at positions were probably over and above some of the guys that were at other positions. But the fact remains, Mike, before we go hitting the panic button and saying, hey, listen, let's deal this guy, let's deal this guy, let's deal this guy, the question remains, are we going to get the kind of long-term that we're going to need out of the players we're going to get back? Because I've heard a couple of different things that the Jays have been working on, a large deal with St. Louis, and I don't know if the Chicago rumor is still just a rumor, but apparently something about a shortstop from Chicago coming across. And allegedly, Reyes moves to second to solve our problems that way.
I think you're getting stuff just from fans. I don't think anyone is actually suggesting that the Blue Jays are going to trade for Starlin Castro from the Cubs and then move Jose Reyes to shortstop, other than fans on Twitter. But But I want to know what sort of point you're getting to here, because if you're worried about long-term, I don't know that long-term matters if you make the playoffs, if you win a division, which is something this team hasn't done in the last 21 years.
Well, the point I'm getting to, Mike, is this. I don't think that they're a playoff team as constituted. I believe that they are in the conversation moving forward, but I would much rather hold on to Sanchez or Norris as opposed to trading now for unless I'm getting Price or Shields. I don't want to give up either one of those kids.
But you don't think they'll actually trade one of those guys for someone who's not very, very good, do you?
Well, my concerns are once we get closer to the trade deadline and the heat starts to get turned up a little bit, I don't want to say that Alex would make a panic move, but if he thought he saw something that he might make a play on, then maybe. But
I think given the history of Alex Anthopoulos, I don't think you need to worry about a panic move, or you need to worry about emotion, or you know overriding his rationality. That just doesn't seem to be the way he's ever operated. We're not going to see a Michael Young for a Staybon Loaiza type trade. I just, nothing in the way Alex Anthopoulos has operated his business since he's become the general manager would indicate that he would do something like that. Matt in Bakersfield, California. Matt, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I think I counted like five or six how are you doing today for you. So I don't know.
So you already know how I'm doing.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was thinking about maybe start a drinking game with that, because I think if it's a long Blue Jays talk, I get pretty drunk.
Well, you know what? Everyone's not listening from start to finish. I don't know why. You know, a lot of people ask me how I am and then decide to yell at me, so I don't quite get
Sometimes
that.
Your producer even warns you.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, anyways, I just want to thank you for a wonderful first half of Blue Jays coverage, you and the staff and the television, too. You guys are excellent compared to all the other ones. only radio that compares is maybe Giants because they got John Miller going for them. But that's about it. You guys do a wonderful job, and me and my family would like to thank you.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that, you know, I don't think Alex Anthopoulos should wait around any longer to make a trade because, I mean, with all the injuries and the way things have been going, you need a spark. You need somebody to help keep the house up until the guys get back. And even looking at it from his standpoint, I mean, there's going to be a lot of criticism if he makes a trade late when it's too late and they don't get any help and he just sat on a good team and didn't make any improvements. I mean, really, it's his butt that's going to get burned here.
You don't actually think he's waiting to make a trade, though, do you?
I don't think he's waiting. I think he's waiting for the price to come down. I think these GMs kind of mess with each other and make each other see who's going to move first. And I think he's trying to get the best price possible instead of making a move now.
I think the prices are too high right now for him to make a trade, and he runs the risk of if he makes a trade now, it's going to be a bad trade, and he doesn't want to do that. And just like we were talking about with the last guy, the whole Loaiza for Michael Young sort of thing, that's what you want to avoid right now. And if the prices are too high that you're going to make a big mistake and give up something that's going to haunt your franchise for a long, long time to get a guy who's just not that good, then you're better off doing that. No, you're better off holding back. I think he's trying his best to make a trade.
They just showed a guy with a Toronto FC shirt on ABC coverage for the World Cup. I just thought that was funny for Toronto radio. I didn't mean to cut you off, Mike. That was kind of random. I'm sorry.
I was done anyway. That's fine.
Coming off for the soccer, so thanks. And I just want to take a Blue Jays second half.
All right. Thank you. It's almost over. The clock's counting down. Germany leading Argentina 1-0. They are in, as they say, time added on of the overtime period. It looks like we had an Argentina free kick going on, so we'll fill you in on what happens as a result of that. And when the soccer is over, and it's going to happen any minute, we will get you to European Football Weekly. Let's see if we can take one more call while this thing's still going on. Robert is in Peterborough. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I just have a simple question. Something I'm confused about. There's the seventh inning stretch, and then there's the stretch when you're in the middle of a count. I don't really understand. Is the seventh inning stretch like for the fans, or is that for the players? And in the middle of the count part, like, is it if you're 2-2 or 3-2? Is that when they say it's a stretch? I'm confused about that.
Okay. The seventh inning stretch is for the fans who've been sitting around for 7 innings, and they need to get up and stretch their legs and clap their hands and do fancy dances and stuff. When a pitcher pitches from the stretch, it has nothing to do with the middle of a count. They'll do that with runners on so that the base runner does not have an opportunity to steal a base. That's the difference, and that's perhaps the most interesting question I've ever been asked on this program. Soccer game's over, huh? So congratulations to Germany. They win the World Cup final 1-0 over Argentina. They are in a giant pile in the middle of the field right now in Brazil. And that means that not only is the World Cup over, but so is this edition of Blue Jays Talk. Thanks to all those of you for calling. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. Blue Jays lose it 3-0, the Tampa Bay Rays. They go into the All-Star break at 49-47, 3 or 4 games out of first place, depending on how the Baltimore Orioles do tonight. The Orioles are home to the New York Yankees, a game you can hear along many of these Sportsnet Radio Network stations. And on, of course, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Chase Whitley against Kevin Gausman. Friday night is when the Blue Jays come back, taking on the Texas Rangers, 7 o'clock Eastern. See you then.